Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
My family thinks I'm crazy. Podcast where I, your host, try to give you some tips on how you can explain all this weird, wild, crazy conspiracy stuff to the people you love most. Because that's what I've been trying to do for the past 10 years with no success.
I've been telling everybody that I give a minute shade.
They don't want to hear it. They're just like, oh, here we go, Mark. Off again with
this is
your...
Mark being Mark again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's the thing about podcasts is when you're on the air, and it's like therapy, you know? If I can't talk to my family about this stuff, I'll talk to you, Matt, and all our listeners.
You know, just tell your whole podcast.
Yeah. So who are we talking about today, Matt?
Telling you, that article that I posted was already in the algorithm to be immediately censored. And I tried to post it again right before I went on the air, immediately censored again. They will not let me post this really well-written article that talks about all of his donors that were attacking him. It's a really long, I'll send it to you after we get done with this. Why was that immediately deleted? Why was it immediately shadow banned? If I'm wrong, why is it already, because I've been like that, I've been doing this a long time.
You just heard today's guest, who joins me, Mystic Mark, here on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy this conversation with Winston Montag. Live on Patreon. Rock on. And joining me today for the first installment of My Family Thinks I'm Crazy Live is my man Winston Montag, aka Prophetic Memetics. And he's joining me in the wake of some deeply, deeply disturbing news. Obviously, the entire alternative media community has been shaken up and hurt. Whether you agreed with, disagreed with, yada, yada. That's not the place for today's conversation. But I am curious, you know, with a guy like you, Winston, you know, you're on the pulse of what people are sharing on social media. So what have you seen? What's been catching your attention as far as this whole Kirk story? And thanks again for joining me on the show.
Thank you again for having me. Yeah, it's been a wild couple of days, right? Everybody's kind of losing their minds. You got the left and right going at each other. And then obviously there's this whole other level within our movement. And you know, I appreciate you giving me the chance to talk about all this stuff, because it's, you know, I do have a lot of experience in this, and I approach things with a little different mindset than some of the people who have just started to wake up. You know, there's a lot of people right now within our movement who think they've already solved the crime, which is, you know, kind of foolish when to pretend that you've already debunked the official story when they're still building the official story. Normally, you know, when you're doing something like this and you're investigating a false flag or a PSYOP, it takes weeks and sometimes months to really dig into it and get to an answer. But within the movement, there's, you know, I guess there's really two trains of thoughts. There's the crisis actor, everything is fake. Charlie Kirk was always an actor and his wife is an actor, and the AI videos and the squibs and that whole thing, which is, it's certainly possible. I mean, when you're awake and you learn about things, you realize that just about anything is possible. So that's, but Occam's razor tells us the simplest answer is usually the truth. And when I had known about Charlie Kirk for a long time. I always kind of enjoyed his debates. I thought he was kind of a useful idiot when it came to Israel, but he seemed like a genuinely good guy. And some of the things I agreed with him on, but you know, after he was shot, obviously it, you know, made me start digging into him anymore, even more. And then I realized that, he had been turning his attention to Israel in a way that he hadn't before. And he had been challenged in some debates about 9/11 and Epstein and stuff like that. And you could tell that he was starting to go, hey, wait a minute, I don't really have answers. And kind of one of the things that I admired about the guys, I like watching people debate. I like when people know how to debate. And if you know how to debate, then you know when you're losing a debate. And real people who can debate well don't go to ad hominem attacks and straw man arguments. They address the evidence. And when he was confronted with some evidence, like there's one guy who confronted him about them finding passports after 9/11. They couldn't find the black boxes, but they found passports. And you could see him, he was kind of confused. He didn't know about that. So from my research and what I've been learning, it seems pretty clear that he had started bucking Israel and he had started pissing off his donors to Turning Point USA. And he had, according to some reports, like Bibi had offered to buy or fund his Turning Point USA to his wildest dreams. And he had turned them down, that even though he stayed with the party rhetoric when it came to Iran, that privately he had talked to President Trump about how he was worried about going into war with Iran. And he, from what I can tell, he really cared about America. And he was one of those right-wing kind of guys, but he started realizing that America's interests and Israel's interests didn't always align. And there are reports from some of his friends that they were saying that he was afraid that Israel was going to take him out. And in fact, one of his Turning Point, he was talking to Megyn Kelly and he said, I'm in a weird position where I can criticize Israel even less than people in Israel, because he had so many Zionist donors. So as the truth community has begun to look into everything, I fall more into the belief that he was shot, that he had turned against Israel and was starting to come out, and that because of his organization, the way that it affected the youth and how many people were.
You're telling me that the Israel that genocides innocent children in Gaza and funds a terrorist group to be the willing enemy to fight all their, you know, proxy wars, you're telling me they would rain down a bullet on the neck of Charlie Kirk? I mean, this surely is a conspiracy theory. Oh my gosh. This is where everybody's going to, and I don't doubt it, but I mean, is that it? Is Israel this end all be all to the deep state? Is it Mossad that shot Kirk? Like, is that where your mind goes when you look at everything that's unfolded in the past few years with Kirk? Because yeah, that's a pretty distressing and alarming statement for him to make, saying that he can criticize Israel less than somebody who lives in Israel. Yeah, it's very strange.
Well, my research over 20 plus years at this point has taught me that over and over again, these assassinations are almost always connected to intelligence agencies, whether it's Dr. King or Malcolm X or Robert Kennedy or JFK. And, you know, so if there's a high profile assassination, I don't immediately believe the Patsy story. And especially when the Patsy story isn't making sense and the guy disassembled his gun and then jumped off a roof and then reassembled it somewhere else. Or then he had it tucked down his pant leg and then two other people are distracting the police while he gets away. And there's just so many weird things to it that when you start looking at things and you do this for a long time, if there's a major event, people like me we're naturally inclined to say, well, is this a PSYOP first? And you have to prove to me that it's true at this point, if it's something major, you know, minor things, that's fine. Things do happen that are real, but when it's something this big, such a catalyzing change in this country. And yeah, I think you have to ask yourself if this guy who you know, was such an influence on the youth and in the young Republican Party. If these guys were starting to swing where they didn't just immediately back Israel, no matter what they do, that's a big problem for Israel. And Israel's the tail that wags the dog in this country. They determine a lot of foreign policy. There's plenty of evidence that Epstein and Maxwell worked for Israel. So, you know, I think their narrative is kind of crumbling. And to have somebody like Charlie step up and start saying, we don't need to be supporting Israel, would be a huge blow for them. And that's their base. And that's their young base that they depend on in the future. So he would be unraveling years of work that they did. And I honestly don't think he was like a purposeful shill. I think he was one of those kind of useful idiots that thought that Israel was really on our side. He had been right. I was raised to believe that. I was raised to believe they were the victim. I was raised to believe all that same stuff. It was only until I took a look at it that I started realizing that, you know, all this stuff doesn't really make sense. All this stuff. And I didn't know about the USS Liberty. I didn't know about all these false flag attacks. I didn't know how Israel was formed. And so, yeah, unfortunately, I mean, if there was plenty of evidence that China did it, I would be pointing at China and saying, look, China did it, but that's not where the evidence is pointing so far. You know, Charlie didn't say he was worried that China was going to kill him. So,
sorry. It's definitely something to make you think twice. But at the same time, I wonder if this is all just, you know, because for the past few months, and I am in no way taking the defensive position in favor of Israel, but I'm just curious, like, can we be thrown for yet another loop with this Israel boogeyman? Like, at the end of the day, isn't Israel a creation of the British and American governments and the British and American deep states, right? So when we talk about Israel, when we criticize Israel, what are we even talking about? I mean, this country is how old? 60, 70, 80 years somewhere. It's not even a century old, right? So not that I'm confronting you on your use of the term. I'm with you on how you're describing it. I agree with you. But I just wonder because, you know, with everything going on with Gaza and the, you know, Palestinians, it's something that feels to me like we've been conditioned over the past few years, ever since the, what was it, October 8th? What was it? Is it October 8th or August
7th?
7th. Thank you. 7th. I don't know how to, my dyslexia caught up with me there. But yeah, the October 7th event, ever since then, we've had like this concerted faction of people in the alternative media space speaking out against Israel, while at the other end of the spectrum, you have guys like Charlie Kirk, you know, the people closer to maybe Donald Trump's cabinet, slowly giving up on some of those hard stances against Israel, the kinds of hard stances we heard when Trump was campaigning, right? So it does feel like something has been leading to this. I don't know. What are your thoughts on the overall atmosphere and what people, you know, in general, because now it's gone beyond bipartisan. You have people on the radical left who hate Israel for one reason. You have people on the right who hate Israel for an entirely different reason. So that to me is a little like it's something to take note of, I guess.
Well, sure. But I mean, when you're talking to normies, you can't be like, hey, the gray Pope killed Charlie Kirk. You know what I mean? I mean, there's only so many levels deep that you can go where you talk about the Rothschilds. I mean, so you kind of have to go where the evidence leads you. And Charlie Kirk wasn't being, granted, I understand what you're saying as far as like on deeper levels, who founded Israel and that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, we're dealing with, you know, what happened on September 10th in 2025. And all the evidence shows that Charlie Kirk was funded by Zionists and that he was arguing with Zionists and starting to stand up against Zionists, and Zionists were getting pissed off at him, and Zionists were starting to attack him. And so the two intelligence agencies that are most commonly linked are Mossad and CIA. So of course, American intelligence agencies probably had something to do with it as well, because they usually work hand in hand. But, you know, the evidence is what the evidence is, you know? So I kind of look at it just from, I don't care who did it or what, you know, I don't really look at it with my biases, like the same way with the, whether it's fake. I mean, with the, you know, there's this, have you seen the ring video where Charlie Kirk's ring switches fingers? There's an AI video. It's definitely an AI video. It's very clear where his ring is on his left finger and his ring finger. And then as he's being shot, it immediately switches to his pinky finger. Well, that's clearly an AI video, right? Like your ring just doesn't magically switch fingers. However, just because there's an AI video doesn't mean that everything is fake and he was an actor the whole time. It just means that that video is fake. So I just try to always address the evidence that's in front of me and, you know, form my conclusions based on the best evidence. And so right now, the best evidence is showing me that the most common thing that, that makes the most sense is that, you know, he pissed off Israel. Now, is there some grander plan behind all of this to make people hate Israel? Probably so. There might be something else besides that, too. But, I mean, again, it all these roads keep leading back to Israel. The Epstein Road keeps leading back to Israel. The wars that we fought keep leading back to Israel and the Greater Israel Project. So, I mean, are there, you know, deeper levels behind all of that? Of course there are. But, you know, part of what we do or what we're supposed to be doing is the truth movement is waking up normies. So when you're waking up normies, that's what I was trying to explain earlier. I had people who were supposed to be my friends who were attacking me and calling me a bot because I was telling them, you can't say you know for sure that it's fake. Like, you don't have enough proof to say that. You can think it's fake. You can have a theory that it's fake. But when you keep saying it like it's absolutely true and anybody who says otherwise doesn't have discernment, you look like a dumb idiot. Like, you have to take your time and you have to be able to present normies with facts that they can handle and understand. And when you try to tell a regular person that Charlie Kirk was a character all along and he's not really dead and his wife's lying, no normal person is ever going to believe that, even if you're right. So you just have to stick with the evidence that makes the most sense, that opens the door for them to just understand. Because for me, I feel like most of our battle is just convincing people that there is this network of people behind the scenes that manipulate events and operate like Gladio B type terrorist attacks within the United States and then make it seem like it's the left or the right or these domestic terrorists when really it's these intelligence agencies operating within our border. So, I mean, like for me, that's the mission. It's not to argue with people who already don't trust the government about what theory is right. The only reason I even get it, like half my time now, it used to be I just tried to wake up normies. And now half my time when these events happen is like trying to wake up normies and also trying to caution the truth movement, like calm down, stop pushing stuff that you don't know is true because you make us look stupid when you do that stuff. When you're just absolutely, it's okay to say, I'm not sure. I think this is what happened. It's a totally fine thing to say. And then you're not like married to it and have to defend it with your life. It's okay to be like, well, hey, this new piece of information popped up and now I think it might be this. Like, earlier today, there's a guy like, see, there's a big argument right now about when it first happened anyway, about, because if you watch it, you see his shirt does this really weird thing. Like his shirt moves really strangely and there's this thing on his neck and they're like, oh, well, it's a squib. But if you're going to do a squib in front of a live audience, why would you need an AI video? You're already, like, everybody's there, has cell phones in their hands. They're going to film it. So why would you need to make an AI video? The only reason an AI video would exist is because military psyops is trying to confuse the movement and make people say exactly that, that everything is fake. It doesn't make sense to make an AI video and have squibs. But what my eyes told me when I saw that was the bullet came from his right. And then maybe that's just from studying Kennedy so long. But the inertia and the way it moved across, it's like he was shot like this. Well, if you look at some of those slow videos, including the one that I texted you earlier, there's a lot of weird stuff going on around him and with his security team and signs that they're making, things that they're doing. And at first, like earlier today, I was like, there's a guy standing there with his arms crossed and it looks like he might have like had something under his arm and shot him. Because if you look at it like he wasn't shot from a far rooftop, but that he was shot across his body and that neck wound was an exit wound. That makes a lot more sense about why he went that way, why he went back and to the left, just like Kennedy. Like all that stuff starts to make more sense. And the video I just sent you is really strange because it's actually, there's a guy in the audience who is in that perfect position to get it at Charlie. And he's got like a white shirt on and he like raises his hand up right as the signal is given. And that looks like he's the guy who actually shot him. No, again, I don't know for sure that's true. We're all examining these videos and we don't know which videos came from where, but my discern, like when I saw that there was evidence that the shot came from his right, like it gave me chills all over my body. Cause that's what my eyes were telling me when I saw it. Like it didn't look like it was like, what was traveling across? Why was he going this way? But you know, my research has taught me over the years that you react to the bullet. If you're going like this, it's cause you were hit this way. So it's just one of those things where, you know, I at least have the, you know, the experience to be saying, I think this. I'm not sure about this, but this is what I think. What I don't believe is the Patsy story that some random guy squeezed off a high-pressure shot from hundreds of yards in a situation like that and then evaded authorities for exactly 33 hours because they just had to throw that 33 in there. You know, there's just a lot of weird stuff going on with all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, just for full clarity, I have not, nor will I, seek out watching those videos. It's just not something that I want to personally engage with, but more power to anyone who can stomach that. And
well, it doesn't show the blood. It's not showing. Yeah. I'm not talking about
the video you sent me, but I guess the day of I found out the news on the phone from Sam Tripoli, because we were about to record an episode of Tinfoil Hat and he wanted to, you know, cancel it basically. I'm sure Sam wouldn't mind me sharing that info, but still, it's just, I don't know, not my particular cup of tea to go and look at those types of videos, even with the truth seeking in mind. I do respect that, though, and I'm happy to hear your examination and analysis, but yeah, I do appreciate your reserved approach, and I think that's great advice and wisdom for people listening. And you know, my family thinks I'm crazy. Like, this is a podcast that resonates with people who believe in all sorts of crazy things, and unfortunately, you know, we're seeing all sides of interpretation of this event. I mean, sadly, I heard even people like cheering on his death. I wasn't in conversation with them, but I overheard it sitting at the bar. And, you know, it makes me wonder, like, what type of person cheers for somebody's death. But I guess at a certain point in my life, you know, I might have done the same for someone that I thought was a political enemy. And if I had been swept away in the propaganda. But that's really what I think I noticed most heavily. Maybe it's just the people I live around, but yeah, it was very concerning to hear people express like gratitude that this guy was killed. I mean, wow, like what a world that we live in where, you know, in America, someone with a differing political opinion gets killed and you cheer that event on. I mean, that's disturbing to say the least. So yeah, I'm sure people from all different walks of life might tune into this podcast because we're in no way, you know, catering to one side or the other. But you know, when you hear something like that, like what would you say to somebody who, you know, disagree with Kirk or not, you know, like what's your analysis of this? Like normie, here's the normie. They want to know what you think happened to Kirk. Would you tell them that he was killed by Israel? Do you believe this? There's something more to this? I mean, we saw the wound that Donald Trump suffered, and there was a lot of very suspicious things about that event. And when I heard the details of this one with Kirk, it was very reminiscent of that. Although obviously Trump was not killed, it just seemed eerily similar, the placement of the shot and whatnot. So anyways, I just threw a bunch of questions at you, but yeah, what would you tell a normie who's asking you, you know, to tell them what to think about this whole thing?
Sure. Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, I agree with you. If you're celebrating the death of somebody who didn't really shoot or kill or do anything terrible in his life, he just had some different opinions. That's, you know, everybody celebrated when Bin Laden was killed or supposedly killed and dumped off a boat. People celebrated when Saddam was killed. So there's, you know, and all the right wing people cheered for that guy dying. So, you know, they can't get on this high horse and say they've never cheered for somebody dying. I made a meme about Rockefeller the night before he died about him dying, and then he died the next day. Like, so, I mean, that was one of the weirdest things that ever happened. But I would just look at it like, you know, if you're talking to a rational person, they don't cheer when somebody, you know, gets their, you know, face shot or neck shot and in front of people. Like, just the trauma for all those people that had to see that, like, it's an awful thing, you know what I mean? But yeah, with a normie, I'd tell them, like, so far this is what the evidence is showing. This is the evidence is showing that he was, you know, he was a threat to the Zionist New World Order that they're trying to form, and that is, you know, whether it's with the Rothschild and the Bank of England and all that stuff, the black nobility and all that kind of stuff, or and no matter what, that Israel is a part of it. But I guess I always try to get people to, most of the time when I'm talking to people, once they realize that I'm not the right or the left and I really am consistent about things and I don't really like Trump or Bush or Obama or Biden or any, and I can show you terrible things about all of them, most people generally at least have a certain respect for that, because they're not, that doesn't immediately put them in their right left cult thing where they're really defensive, because they realize I'm just honestly talking about stuff. I always try to get them to look at the bigger picture stuff of, you know, not only what happened, but what's going to happen afterwards. What are they going to use? What are they going to do to make this event something that works for them? Like, they never let a crisis go to waste, right? So in much the same way that meme wars do the same thing. When that was happening, I was immediately making memes about, you know, what are they going to do next and all that kind of stuff, because you take advantage of the situation. They do the same thing. They just do it in an evil way. So I would probably be worried about, you know, the radicalization of the right and the left against each other. It obviously did a great job in divide and conquer, which is what they love to do. And I would worry about what's coming next, you know, in the same way that if you look at the strategy that they use, most of the time what they'll do is they'll get the party that would be against them, they'll get those people to be the ones who support the thing that they would normally be against, such as Democrats were always against big pharma and stuff like that until COVID came around. And all of a sudden they were all like, take your shot, wear your mask. And in that same way, I have a feeling that it'll be a Republican in office when they try to take your guns, because they know that Republicans would freak out if it was a Democrat trying to do it. But if a Republican's trying to do it, they're going to be a lot less likely to fight about it. I think there's still going to be people that fight about it. But yeah, I mean, my mission is always, as I look at it, is to break people out of that right left matrix cycle of trusting the news and believing everything they see and trying to get them into the middle ground of truth and looking at things objectively and understanding that there are people behind the scenes that cause this Hegelian dialectic of problem, reaction, solution. And, you know, and so I think they got the reaction they wanted, and you should be concerned about what the solution is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. First and foremost, BrainSupreme.co. Go there now. Check it out. If you're a microdoser like me and you need access basically to the purest, cleanest psilocybin on the market, go to BrainSupreme.co. Use the promo code CRAZY. Need I say more? This stuff is incredible. I've had the founder and CEO on the show several times. Go and check out my interviews with him, Adam Schell. And that's that, folks. BrainSupreme.co. They got all the info you need right there on their website. Make sure you use the promo code CRAZY at checkout and save on your first order of the Black Stack. That's my favorite stack, but they got the Brains and Balls blend, and they've got the basic, forget the name of the regular one, but they're all great. I love the Black Stack. Highly recommend that. Promo code CRAZY to get yourself on the level. BrainSupreme.co, promo code CRAZY. We've also got Vibe Med X, my guy Ron. Listen, Ron, he went above and beyond. He went to the next level to get this Shilajit, okay? This is some of the highest quality Shilajit you can find in the United States, shipped straight to your door. If you're curious about what Shilajit can do for you, check out my interview with Ron Morit from Vibe Med X. And yeah, the Shilajit is some, I mean, they call it the vitamin of the gods in Asia because it's an adaptogen. It does what your body needs. It's something that can work for you. So anyways, thanks for not skipping the ads. But if you did skip the ads, just know you can save yourself the hassle by signing up for as low as $3 a month on Patreon. That's patreon.com/MFTIC. And you support the show. You help the show stay on the air. Support the show. I can't do it without you. Now let's get back to this episode after a quick break to our dynamic ads. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. I'm your host, Mystic Mark. I want to bring attention to one of my favorite sponsors. That's Mood. Mood thinks cannabis should be accessible, affordable, convenient, and transparent. But most importantly, they believe, and I believe, in supporting the American farmers who make all of this possible. That's right, made in America. Like the outfit that I have on, my t-shirt, my Hard End Co. jeans, all 100% made in America. So why would the cannabis I'm smoking be any different? That's right, Mood created an online source for 100% federally legal cannabis grown on small, pesticide-free American farms. You can't beat that, folks. Go American, go local, if you can. Keep it within our borders. Support this country. And I'm going to support you by giving you 20% off your entire purchase for first-time buyers only. Just use the promo code CRAZY at mood.com. That's mood.com, MOOD.com. I'm telling you, folks, Mood stands behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee. And as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the code CRAZY. So head to mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. Remember to use the promo code CRAZY at checkout to save 20% off your order of American cannabis. Go and check it out today at mood.com, and we'll be right back to this episode in just a moment. Hey everybody, this is Mystic Mark, the host of My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, and I gotta pay my bills, so here I am compromising my integrity to tell you about Hims. And listen, you don't have to compromise your routine with Hims. You don't have to take time out of your busy schedule, just do it all online from the comfort of your home. What are you doing? You're getting treated for erectile dysfunction. Why do you have erectile dysfunction? I don't know. Maybe there are other issues in your life that you should address first before going straight to pharmaceuticals. But if you're there and you've tried everything else and you really just want to make your lady happy, which I'm a guy, I get it, man. We got to make the ladies happy. That's how the world goes around. When women are happy, the world keeps turning. So get that edge you need in the bedroom with Hims. Use the promo code CRAZY at checkout. That's hims.com/crazy for your free online visit. hims.com/crazy to get simple online access to personalized, affordable care for ED, hair loss, weight loss, and more. Visit hims.com/crazy. Here comes the fun part. Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information. Doo-doo-doo. Thank you, Hims. Now I can go buy more weed and smoke it, stoner, dude. Just kidding. I'm literally paying my electric bill, my insurance bill. I'm dying over here. Support me on Patreon, patreon.com. For real, patreon.com/MFTIC.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Honestly, I think that's a big part of any event that takes place with this much weight. You know, there's powers that be that are moving pieces on a chessboard behind the scenes that make these things, you know, happen, and they have their cleanup crew, their PR crew who comes in and puts a tantalizing plot twist on it, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, it was a, you know, whatchamacallit sharpshooter who's just so lucky, you know, they were trained, even though they were only 19 years old, they were trained and pulled this amazing shot off, you know. Meanwhile, you already mentioned a couple of other alternative possibilities, people in the crowd that looked like they were doing things that are outside of the what you would imagine is standard protocol in an event like that, or just a standard reaction to, you know, something as shocking as somebody getting shot within your eyesight. You know, I mean, that is not a normal thing. So to be gesturing like this, as if you have something under your arm in that instance, yeah, I'm curious, although I'm not going to watch the video, I'm curious to see, you know, what comes of this. Obviously, it's only a few days after, as we're recording this and as we're live talking about this, so who knows exactly what researchers and law enforcement are going to, you know, exactly, you know, put out about this. I mean, when you say law enforcement, it's like, again, is this just the PR cleanup crew, right? Like, which law enforcement, what department, which police officers, you know, because half the time they're either doing shady business beforehand, and that's why these things happen in their areas, right? Like, these are the weird things that all add up to make you think, oh, this can't be just a coincidence. And again, political polarization aside, what are your thoughts on this happening in Utah? Obviously, that entire, I mean, that part of the country, the center west, Midwest, Rocky Mountain states, is very conservative for the most part, but you have some pretty extreme exceptions, right? You have like Jackson Hole, Wyoming. You have like, you know, the big cities in Montana are all very, you know, liberal. And so you have like a pretty interesting disparity there. But Charlie Kirk, again, home territory, it feels like, right? I mean, Utah's full of Christians. They may be Mormons, but they're Christians nonetheless. And yeah, so it's just, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, the University of Utah has connections to Skull and Bones, allegedly. Have you made anything, heads or tails, of the location where this took place?
No, I can't say I've spent a lot of time thinking about the location, although obviously if it's a conservative stronghold, it's good to shoot somebody in a conservative stronghold to try to go after the guns, you know, again, because it, one of the things that's definitely on their list is disarming the population. That is, you know, that's definitely going to be one of the things that happens at some point. Some event, something is going to happen where they say, you know, it's going to be safer if you guys, the only people that have guns are Epstein's friends. So that, you know, that's not a great situation. I can't say I've spent a lot of time. Most of it's just been trying to figure out what exactly happened there, you know, and I would like to throw this out there too, that, you know, one of the things my buddy Justin and I, Justin, we are changed down in Orlando. He's really well-known activist down there. We were just texting before the show. And, you know, one of the things we've considered is, and I was talking to some, I did a podcast last night, Stranger by the Hour, with some former special operations soldiers. And they were saying that, you know, there are some suppressors they could have that would, you know, would be able to suppress that and make it, you know, where you wouldn't be able to see. It wouldn't be like a long nose silencer. But one of the things that we were considering was that perhaps this was some type of new tech, and that maybe this was something that was, you know, something we haven't seen before. And before anybody thinks that's crazy, like if you, I think it was the church committee when they back in the 60s or whatever, when they showed that they had a heart attack gun or whatever. And so we know that they make weapons that are like advanced that, you know, we don't really know about. So, I mean, is it possible that some type of, because I guess you haven't seen the video and I wouldn't recommend seeing it, but the one that's actually the brutal one that shows it is awful. And it is an explosion out of his neck. And perhaps that's because it was an exit wound and there was something, some new technology that hit him. And it wasn't just a regular bullet. I'm not saying that's exactly what happened, but I mean, it's one of the possibilities we have to consider on a top level hit involving intelligence agencies that has to be pulled off, in which you need the patsy to take the fall, but you can't. So the problem with that patsy thing is that it's almost never really, it's a patsy. It's almost never really some single guy doing it, which means that when intelligence agencies are involved, they need to be closer. They need to be like, I don't believe that Patsy at the Trump shooting took that shot. There's plenty of evidence that whoever took that shot was actually on the water tower. So, I mean, what normally they would do is they'd put a Patsy there with a blank or something to that effect, and he'd shoot and think he's doing something, but the real shooter is closer, and the real shooter doesn't miss. So, I mean, is that necessarily what happened? I don't know. You know, it's all speculation at this point. But again, like almost every major thing that happens is not what we are told it is, from wars to Gulf of Tonkin to 9/11 to, you know, I mean, even October 7th. Like, then that's one of the things that Charlie had done. He had said publicly, like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, it took me 45 minutes to take a helicopter ride from Jerusalem, and they sat there for 6 hours seeing people getting shot, and they didn't respond to us. The most heavily defended border on earth, and nothing happens. Like, was there a stand down order? Like, he was asking some really important questions towards the end there that his base did, or his sponsors did not want him telling to his base. So, you know, again, like, as the evidence piles up, it seems more and more clear that intelligence agencies were involved. So is there some reason that it was in Utah, perhaps, or perhaps it's just that the more he was getting out of line and the more he was starting to ask questions, the more dangerous he became, and they needed to take him out as soon as possible. And that, to me, it seems more and more like that. And I think, you know, again, I'm not a huge fan of Candace Owens either, but she was close with Charlie, and she's already all over it saying, you know, like, I think he was taken out by somebody. And I, you know, we still haven't seen all the videos that have yet to be released that people have taken from there. I'm not sure. Normally the feds would seize videos, but that's such a big crime scene with so many people. There's no telling like who filmed what. So, I mean, we still have a lot of evidence yet to uncover and an official story yet to be debunked and all that stuff. And so, I mean, it's an interesting question about Utah, and I haven't considered that part, and I didn't know about the Skull and Bones connection. It's totally possible. I only know that through they're connected to Yale, but I mean, that's certainly possible too. And there might be some connection to Mormons as well. I leave myself open to any possibility when I'm looking into something like this.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We've done other episodes. If people are curious for more information, if you just type in Skull and Bones or even Utah in the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy RSS feed or podcast feed search bar, you can find myself and Ryan Burns, maybe even Steven Snyder and a couple of other guests whose names are escaping me right now. But yeah, we've covered it, and there's connections for sure. I mean, Mormonism started because of the money that came out of places like Yale University and Harvard and all those sort of old friend networks. I don't know, what do they call them? Old something networks, but
good old, yeah. Boys.
Good old boys. Thank you. Yeah. The good old boy networks from New England, you know, these Yankees that went west and stayed in touch. I mean, they all had similar connections and familial connections. And this is like the American Illuminati in a sense. Right. So,
right.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, a strong case to be made that certain things like this happen on campuses that are, let's just say, you know, under a certain control system that can allow for these things to go, you know, unnoticed, sure, or covered, sure, up, sure, easier than, sure, other places, right? And I mean, this is, yeah, important information, honestly, like, not that, you know, not to bring it into a territory that you're unprepared to talk about. I don't mind just talking about anything with you because I know you got a ton of great wisdom. But I think just as a conspiracy theorist in general, like, knowing about these sorts of things, it's a good way to plan your vacations potentially. Like, I don't know, don't go to these places where Rockefeller money funded all this stuff and yada, 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 all these connections. You know, it seems like these are the places you see a pyramid casino and it's like, maybe I shouldn't hang out around here, you know?
Right. Yeah. Get into the Vegas shooting. That's a whole other can of worms right there, right? And then there's the same kind of thing where, you know, do we have the official story on that? Sure. Does anybody who's looked at it believe the official story? No. But does anybody know exactly what happened when there's 75 gunshots all over the strip and all these reports and all this stuff? Like, no. All you can really know is that something really fishy happened and they covered up a lot of stuff. And, you know, and so that's the same. I've investigated that for a long time. I spent months on the Boston bombing. I spent months on Sandy Hook. I spent months on all these things, and I don't pretend that I know exactly what happened. You know what I mean? I just, for me, that was one of the reasons I'm glad that you asked if I wanted to come on, because it was, you know, just to urge some caution of, it's okay to think that maybe that's what happened, but it's very important if you're trying to wake people up that you present evidence that you can actually prove. If you're talking to a normie, it's fun for me and you to talk about stuff because we can speculate about stuff and we know that, you know, it's just speculation. But when you're talking to somebody that's new and you're trying to get them to understand what's really going on in the world, I just think it's very important that you present information that makes sense, that's provable, that somebody who's still watching TV every day can believe. Like, it's very difficult if you've investigated the Boston bomb and looked into that stuff. It's very difficult to say, like, I think this is all fake. And this guy, like, he's putting a leg on him. And, like, this guy was already a veteran. It was missing a leg. And how's he sitting up with both of his legs blown off? Why is he not bleeding out? There's all these different questions that are asked that you can ask without saying it's definitely this or it's definitely that. So with what you're saying, yeah, if I see a bunch of pyramids all around me and a bunch of Rockefeller name, I might be going somewhere else that day. Like, you never know. Like, and you're absolutely right. That makes perfect sense. If there's a deep connection with skull and bones there, then yes, you would have the mechanisms in place to cover things up. You know, you'd have the mechanisms in place to hide things or to hide the shooter, to hide the real assassin. You know, there's one report that this plane took off and turned off its transponder, went low and landed somewhere and then came back. And, like, a lot of people thought, well, that's where that was the assassin actually getting away, you know? So and that's where at this point, all our job is, or at least I look at it this way. And most of the OG truther people that I know look at it this way, is we just present all the information that we're finding and you try to let people make up their own minds, you know, and just right. kind of examine it as it comes.
Right. Well, and the truth is nonpartisan at the end of the day. Obviously Charlie Kirk was a conservative, you know, icon in the social media space. He took advantage of a time when these sorts of viral clips were just extremely popular, and he found a format that worked really well and built that into, like, literally an media empire. And anytime someone rises to that level, you know, again, they're putting themselves at great risk, right, with this amount of influence and having, I'm sure, money coming in from people who were only giving him money because they saw his influence and they wanted to control the direction of that influence, right? And I think that's a big reason why the truth community is very grassroots, because, you know, big funding doesn't go into someone who's earnestly taking on the truth. And when you stray into earnestly taking on the truth from a platform that is bought, sold, and paid for, this is the kind of thing that potentially happens, not only to, you know, stop that influence dead in its track, pardon the expression, you know, thoughts and prayers to Kirk and his family, but, you know, to stop him from being this influence, that's one sense, but it's also a message potentially to anyone else who, you know, creates an influence like that, you know, and again, like, who pays the bills in this country for those sorts of things to happen, right? I mean, you don't right. just become a nationally known person without the wrong type of people putting you there, right? I think that's a big wake up for anyone who wants to look past American media and see it for what it is. Like, you have to realize that there are puppet masters, for lack of a better term, and they don't all agree with each other. You know, that's the other thing too, is like to say that they're all conservative or they're all leftists, or just say that they're, you know, mobsters, or, you know, it's, I think it's way more complicated than that. And it's very hard to, almost feels like on that level, they're fighting with each other too. And these are the sorts of events that, you know, we see it from one side and interpret it the way we do, but they see it from a different angle because they have this, you know, back and forth going on that we have no real tangible way of studying, because it's esoteric, it's secret, it's behind these closed doors.
Sure.
The war of the boxes, so to speak.
And I first became familiar with Turning Point when they had it was back in the day, they'd made some viral thing about gumballs and immigration. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I remember making fun of it because it was like this really simplistic way to try to explain why immigration was bad. And honestly, like, I knew he was connected with Turning Point, but I never really connected, like the guy, Charlie, talking to people on the college campuses. He was actually part of the Turning Point thing before he was really became real popular talking on college campuses. So, you know, when I watched those videos, I just always, I always felt kind of like, in a way, he was punching down because he was obviously very intelligent. He's talking to these college kids who, you know, their brains aren't even fully developed. And he's, you know, but at the same time, I understood like, well, he's, you know, these colleges are where a lot of this indoctrination is occurring. And he's trying to take it to these young kids and say, let me challenge you on your ideas and let's see how your ideas hold up under the weight of intelligent debate. And oftentimes they don't, obviously. Right. But yeah, I mean, I really feel like when you look at those clips from the last few months and you look at this guy who had been staunchly defending Israel the whole time, when he starts asking, like, is this ethnic cleansing? Is this, you know, is it possible that October 7th was actually a stand down and it was done on purpose? And those are serious questions for the Republican base, because you already know the Democrats aren't with them. So, but the Republicans are all they have in this country. Like the most of the in-between people know about Israel. Most of the left doesn't like Israel. They only have the right. And when you're taking the old boomers are going to be who they are, but the young ones, if you lose those too, you've lost America. So that is a serious problem when the most powerful young conservative voice is saying there's something wrong with Israel. I think that is much more damning and scary to the real people who were funding Turning Point USA. And there's no question about who was funding Turning Point USA. There's no question it's a bunch of big time Zionists. And there's no question that people like Laura Loomer and all these other people started coming out at him as soon as he started asking these questions, you know. And then what's the alternative? Like immediately after Kirk shot, what are they saying? They're gonna put Ben Shapiro in charge of Turning Point. I mean, come on, dude. Like they're immediately trying to put this Zionist shill in charge of his organization after he's asking these questions. You know, it's one of those things where, of course, there's always layers upon layers. And yeah, on some level, is there some, you know, satanic cultish trying to bring back the trying to get the end of the world, make everybody go against Israel? Is there something? I mean, probably so that too. But even if that is true, it doesn't change the fact that Israel does terrible things and that their fingerprints are all over this. And what happened? Like immediately after Kirk is shot, Netanyahu's tweeting about it and thoughts and prayers and showing a letter saying, you know, basically like, I didn't have anything to do with it, and then blaming it on Muslims. Like nobody thinks a Muslim shot Charlie Kirk. Like it's just so stupid. But that's immediately he's right on it. So when all those red flags start going off and you look at all the evidence, it's hard not to say, I think Israel had something to do with this. And I really feel like more and more every time, because what I've learned over this is that every time there's an event like this, sure, people get mad and they fight like they're supposed to, but you always see this level of people who were already about to wake up and that's the last straw. Maybe it was COVID for them 5 years ago, you know, where they're just like, this doesn't make sense. Every time they put the walls up, every time they build the prison, people look around and go, hey, is this a prison? Like more and more people start going, hey, why am I having to do this? What is going on? Why are we doing this? And every time that happens, it becomes easier for other people to go, why is this going on? What are we doing? The more people that raise their voice and speak out, the safer it makes other people feel to speak out. The more people that are willing to say, hey, this isn't right, the more people are willing to go, hey, you're right, this isn't right. And that's why it's important that we all lend our voice in our way to ask these questions instead of just mindlessly believing whatever they tell us on TV and accepting the official version and immediately blaming your neighbor. That's their greatest trick in this whole PSYOP, is that what are we all doing? Half these people are all just screaming at each other. They're not screaming at the people who set Charlie up. They're not screaming at the people who are actually running the country. They're yelling at their neighbors. They're yelling at immigrants and stuff. Like, immigrants aren't why you're poor. They're not the reason the dollar's collapsing. I can understand logical arguments about why you don't want to flood some nation with a bunch of third world people, but why are they third world people? Because those nations helped bomb those countries into smithereens and created a bunch of refugees. There's a greater, larger picture to all of this stuff than just simplistic black-white thinking of it's all the Dems or it's all the, you know?
Yeah, well, and that's the real issue. And like, you see it with this Charlie Kirk slaying. I mean, it's really awful to call it anything else. I think is, you know, untrue. It was slain in front of, you know, hundreds of people. I don't know how many people were at that event, but and to see the divisive conversation, it's like, yeah, everyone on the left thinks that conservatives are racist bigots with, you know, a small appetite for culture, whereas the left, you know, they think they're like these amazing people who have the whole world figured out. Meanwhile, the conservatives, they love their lives and they're, you know, doing what they think is the American way. Meanwhile, they think the left are a bunch of crazy freaks who, you know, all they care about is screwing each other in the rear end. And, you know, it's like there's just this polarized conversation happening where as soon as someone like Kirk is made an example of by Israel or their Zionist propaganda state, you know, everybody runs to confirm their bias and, you know, rah, 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 their team and crap on the opponent's team, which is left versus right in this country, right? So, and I, you know, I remember growing up, I'm only 30 years old, but I remember growing up, a lot of the movies, you'd have the bad guy who was like a staunch conservative, old white-haired white guy type. And that was the conditioning for a couple decades where you'd have bad guys in movies who were white guys, right? There was a time when it was the opposite where it was like, you know, minorities who were bad guys in movies, right? We don't have to go back into Hollywood's heyday, but obviously there are some, you know, checks and balances and cultural things going on there. But I do see from my own limited perspective where someone who looks like me or looks like you may be discriminated against in this sort of, I don't know, it's like a victim opposite bias. I'm sure there's some sort of sociological term for it, but like you create an enemy because you've victimized yourself or you've related and sympathized with such this like victim mentality that now that what you see in others becomes, you know, like what you're fighting against. And I think Kirk kind of represents that in many ways for these, for lack of a better word, leftist freaks, you know, like they see a guy like Kirk, a tall, you know, good looking white guy. And they're like, oh, he's what's wrong with this country. He's a racist. He's a bigot. I'm glad that somebody finally got him, right? Like this is the sentiment I heard in liberal New Haven this past week, just being around people and socializing. So, yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on that as an adamant truth seeker, someone who doesn't get bogged down in the left-right paradigm? Like, what do you say to somebody who has that left viewpoint that, you know, is, I think, very indoctrinated, but again, they have this viewpoint that they're the most educated?
Well, I mean, if you're really educated, then you're willing to listen to both sides of the argument. I mean, I'm perfectly capable of listening to Bill Maher or something, and then listening to Jordan Peterson and not agreeing with them on some things and agreeing with them on other things. And I don't have to accept everything they say to hear both sides of the argument. Like, you can't be truly educated on something if you're not willing to listen to both sides of the argument. That's why I love a good debate. I love the Monk debates. Have you ever seen those? They're on YouTube. They have a whole group of people come into an auditorium and they'll ask them a question ahead of time. And then they have two people on each side of the question will debate in front of the audience. And at the end of the debate, they'll ask the audience the question again. And if however many people in the audience swayed their opinion, that's who won the debate, because they won the debate with openness and whoever put forth the best information in the best way. I mean, so if you're really that mad at Charlie Kirk, I would argue that you probably didn't listen to that much of him. Because I didn't agree with everything he said either, but to me, he always just kind of came across as he's a pretty good guy. Like I never got the sense of evil or animosity from him. I never saw him like he would be attacked, and he would still handle it pretty in a classy way. I still thought he didn't know what he was talking about a lot of stuff, but he was always seemed like a pretty good guy. He always seemed like he had a pretty good heart. He was seeking out truth. He had his beliefs, but he handled himself in a classy way. And so, you know, I just think a lot of those people, they, especially on the left, if you're not agreeing with everything on the left, and all of a sudden you're a Nazi, it's like, all right, well, you know, not everybody is, and not just because they don't agree with everything you say. So if you're that hardcore in your cult, there's probably not much I could say to you. But if you're a rational person, you listen to him, you may not agree with what he was saying, but he certainly didn't deserve to get shot in the neck. I mean, if I have to explain that to you, you're probably not somebody that's going to listen anyway. You know what I mean? If your life after 18, 20 years hasn't taught you that it's not okay to murder someone because they have a different opinion, then nothing I say or post is going to make any difference about it anyway. But if you're a rational person, I mean, his viewpoints might not have aligned with yours, but he still had some solid viewpoints. He still had a right to express them. And And what I, again, what I admired about it was like when he was challenged on things and he couldn't win the debate, he was like, I don't know how to think about that. He was willing to say, I might be wrong. And that if you're not willing to say that you might be wrong and you're not willing to learn something new, then you're never going to change. You're never going to grow. You're never going to develop as a human being. You have to be willing to look at something and go, oh, I've been presented with new information. I might need to change my opinion. That's what intelligent people are supposed to do when presented with new information.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's this nasty eye for an eye mentality that you see sometimes, you know, that stems from politics and bleeds into the way people communicate about other human beings. And they, you know, they don't even realize that, you know, the weight of what they're saying sometimes, because people have been so fragmented to not, you know, humanize other people, unfortunately. And, you know, you'd think that would come standard. We're all humans, right? So let's give each other the benefit of the doubt. But yeah, there's this growing polarization that I notice. And it's interesting, you know, recommending my podcast to people, because sometimes when I meet people, I'll be like, oh, don't listen to my podcast. Just follow me on Instagram, because I can tell they're not gonna like my podcast. And it's funny because a lot of times that gets them interested and then they end up finding an episode they like. But yeah, it's funny. The whole week has felt really polarizing, and the few friends I have that, I don't know, I think we all kind of, not that we see things the same way, but we have a sort of even keel of like, we're just going to be honest about how we feel. You know, we've all kind of talked a little bit about the event, and yeah, people are very upset about it, you know, and I wonder, like, you know, is this going to affect the way people speak out about certain things as far as, you know, Israel goes? I don't think anyone, you know.
Man, I think it's a warning, bro. I think that's a warning to people who know what Charlie was doing. Like, be real careful if you decide to change your mind about us. And to what you're talking about, I went through that myself this week. You know, when he was first shot, I still felt terrible for him. But it was like, you know, you did cheer for genocide and stuff. So there's only so bad I'm going to feel about you if you're. But then when I saw that he had changed his mind about stuff, it made me change my mind about him. It made me look at him in a different light. You know, when he was first shot, and they're like, oh, my God, he's a martyr. It was like, all right, settle down. But then you look closely at it and you're like, was this guy actually a really good Christian trying to do the right thing? And he was willing to like stand up to Israel, even though he stood to benefit and he knew his life was in danger, but he was still willing to say it. And that's why he died. Because if all that's true, that martyr thing starts making a little more sense. It starts having a little more weight to it. And again, it's not a right or left thing. It's just like, if he died because he was seeking the truth, then as a truth activist, I have to respect that. Sorry about that. You know, as an activist, I have to respect that kind of thing, because that's what we all are supposed to be doing, is searching for the truth. And if he knew his life was in danger and he was still willing to speak out, that's a brave damn thing to do. And he gave his life for speaking out. I can do nothing but have admiration for that. Even if I didn't agree with everything he said, the guts that it takes to do that, when you know your life, like not just like the stuff we do, like one day we might get in trouble, but he was like, seriously, they might kill me if I do this. And he still did it. I don't know how you can't have some admiration for somebody like that, even if you don't agree with what they say.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. You know, and again, yeah, I think a lot of people are very hypocritical in how they view people and let politics sort of color what at the end of the day is just another human being, right? That you might not agree with. So yeah, I don't have much else to say as it goes with Charlie Kirk, other than my heart goes out to his family and his wife, his kid. And you know, again, like for people who are going to see this and think, oh, maybe I should stop talking about what I'm researching, et cetera. I think you and I both agree. Yeah, no, pedal to the metal. We need to all have the truth, you know, and it comes in different ways for different people and different paths, etc. But I think, you know, whether you're ready for it or not, like if you're in that position to put your life in your hands like that and you die in the name of truth, that's a hell of a way to go. So Yeah, I mean, I all the respect to him if that was the case and that is how it shook out. You know, obviously it's still very soon and we don't know the details. Maybe we never will, like many of these strange events where, you know, politics and subterfuge get clouded into this whole PR cleanup media circus. But yeah, I mean, now it's just people like us talking about this stuff. I haven't listened to many podcasts about the event yet, so we'll see what other people are saying about this whole thing. But yeah, I had to cover it. You know, this podcast does try to stick with contemporary things going on, and you know, my family thinks some crazy-esque topics, which this is that. So but yeah, as far as you know, what we talked about the last time you're on the show that really stuck with me, I do want to give you a chance to say any final thoughts on the whole Kirk matter, but I did also want to talk to you today about fluoride. But before we get into that, do you have any final thoughts on everything that happened with the Charlie Kirk assassination?
No, other than just to say, you know, for those who would listen, that, you know, be careful blaming the Republicans or the Democrats, because those aren't really your real enemies. You're both kind of two wings of the same bird, and the, you know, your neighbor's not your enemy. That you know, the lefty you don't like or the right guy you don't like didn't shoot this guy or didn't have anything to do with it. And among the truth movement, you know, you should make sure that you say, I have a theory, instead of I have a fact. If you're going to say you have a fact, you need to make sure that you can prove that fact. And if you can't prove it to somebody like me, you definitely won't prove it to a normie. So again, I would just urge like a cautious, thoughtful, methodical approach to examining all the evidence and being willing to admit that you're wrong, being willing to change your opinion based on new ideas, which is what we're supposed to do. I mean, as a truth movement, when you wake up to you, that's part of your whole life. Once you do this, is every time you turn around, you're like, oh, I used to think this was true, but that wasn't true. Oh, this thing I was taught my whole life turns out not to be true. So you're supposed to be able to understand that maybe something you believe is wrong. And if you're really in the truth movement, you really believe that, then you shouldn't be making your mind up within 2 hours after a shot exactly what happened, and then calling anybody who doesn't believe you a bot or your discernment's off or whatever. You know, that's not helping anybody when you do stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, and you know, people like that resonate with the title of the show too. And guess what? You know, maybe your family's right. I've been told that many times. And that is the thing, you know, with these conspiracy theories, it's easy to trail off into what ultimately is just feeding a sick part of our egos, right? I see it sometimes with interviews, and that's one of the reasons you and I connected, because I immediately realized, like, oh, not only is this dude a legit truther OG in the movement, but he's cool. Like, he's not one of these people got to stick up his ass and wants me to believe everything he's telling me over the podcast, you know, because you, as you just laid it out, like, listen, don't come to me with a theory, come to me with a fact. And if you can't prove that fact, take it back, Jack, you know, like that's what I would say. And I love the way you put it. So yeah, it's something that I notice with you, and I see it a lot on X. It's easy to just write it all as off as bots. You know, I'm sure there's some AI algorithm that's studying schizos and then recreating an algorithm that, you know, makes a bot that's really aggravating and convincing. Who knows? I don't even want to imagine, because that's only going to attract that into our sphere, which we don't need that. You know, that's what the My Family Thinks Some Crazy podcast is all about. Positive vibes, raising the vibration. But yeah, you see a lot of crazy stuff on X, and I think a lot of it comes down to people who are staring into the abyss in their own lives, you know, so they gravitate towards dark things like conspiracy theories. And you know, unfortunately, if you're not, you know,
if I could mention something real quick. Sorry about that. If I can mention something real quick, though, because I don't think you know this, but they deleted my pages on 9/11. Did you know that?
You mean within 3 days ago? 9/11?
On 9/11, on the day of 9/11, they deleted my Facebook and my Instagram. And then
just saying
on 9/11, yes. Both of my pages on the same day were gone. They were disappeared. And then I had a backup profile, And this again leads. So if I'm wrong about this, then explain this. So if I'm wrong about the Israel thing, then why is there this really well-written article about did Israel kill Charlie Kirk? Immediately when I posted it on my brand new profile, I haven't even really used it. I posted it. It was immediately deleted. I was like, what happened? So I posted it again. It was immediately deleted. I hit one of my friends. I was like, and then I made a post just saying, why are they deleting my posts? That was immediately deleted. I wrote one of my friends. I was like, do you see this post on my page? I started sending it to my friends. Like, look at this article. They won't let me post it. And I tried to post it again. It was immediately deleted. And then they hit me with a warning saying that I was posting spam. The only reason I was reposting is because they were immediately deleting it. So they've not only did they delete both of my, the only page I have now is Prophetic Memetics on X. And I don't have that many people on that page. But if you do want to find my memes, that's at this point, that's really the only place you can find me other than my little personal profile. But I'm telling you, that article that I posted was already in the algorithm to be immediately censored. And I tried to post it again right before I went on the air, immediately censored again. They will not let me post this really well-written article that talks about all of his donors that were attacking him. It's a really long, I'll send it to you after we get done with this. Why was that immediately deleted? Why was it immediately shadow banned? If I'm wrong, why is it already? Because I've been like that. I've been doing this a long time. When it's new and it's already shadow banned, that means it's some hard hitting truth.
Yeah. All right. Well, I can only accept that via messenger. I will, if you want to send it to me via messenger, we'll do it that way. Cause this is, you know, as the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast grows, I want to have as little sensitive information anywhere connected to me. But hey, abovephone.com, promo code crazy. If you guys want a super cool phone, tablet, or laptop that is completely secure and will keep your privacy safe, it's built right in to the platform that you're using. So sorry to jump in there with some paid promotion, but I have to. And maybe you should get yourself an Above phone. You might like it. But anyways, yeah, I was curious, just to wrap up the final thought I had there. I am sorry to hear about your accounts getting flagged, but it is a badge of honor in some ways. I'm sure if you had like a military truther outfit, it'd have a lot of, you know, all kinds of pins and things on the front from all the accounts you've had deleted and banned. Exactly. Yep. I see it. I respect it. But yeah, it's something that I think when it comes to like just the nature of social media, a lot of it is ego based. I mean, I even went and cleared out a lot of the AI photos that I had on my Instagram because I just don't want to see those anymore. And that felt good. It felt like I was freshening things up. And from now on, I want to put, you know, lighthearted content, because there is a lot of dark stuff that we talk about on the podcast. But I want my Instagram account to be a reminder that the show is fun and is about improving your life. Because if your family thinks you're crazy, it could be because you're onto something like me, you know. So, I do want to ask you, as we're sort of winding down here, you know, what can people do to get the fluoride out of their local water supply? Because this is something you were able to do successfully. Was it in the town you live in right now or somewhere nearby?
It was in one of the nearby towns, and then I was part of the statewide movement that got it removed. It was in a town called Niceville, and I did fight with my local water supply as well. Yeah, that's what it takes. It takes going to city council meetings, county commissioners meetings, trying to get a group of people together. I as a general rule, I tell people not to join groups. I tell people to get a squad. Groups lead to groupthink, but if you can get you a little squad of friends that believe the same things you do, and you guys can put in some, you know, four or five people that can put in some great work, it would surprise you what you can do with just a few people that are really dedicated to doing something about it. So if you're trying to get that poison out of your water, and that is what it is, a poison, I would suggest you make you a little Facebook group or a, you know, an Instagram page or something like that. Find some little clever name like Fluoride Out of Delaware, whatever it might happen to be. And then, you know, what it really takes is showing up to those meetings and holding those politicians' feet to the fire and trying to get more people to come. And you know, with in some cases when I was talking to people, they were listening. And then in some of those places when I would talk to them, it was like talking to a brick wall, and they couldn't answer any of my questions. They couldn't win a debate against me. They had no knowledge, but they just were just against it, because and a lot of that came down to partisan stuff, right? It was like that I had to be a Republican because I was doing, like, I've been against fluoride for 20 years. You know what I mean? I've been talking about this stuff for years. I had nothing to do with Kennedy or any. I mean, they just, they made it possible, like Dr. Joseph Latipo is our Surgeon General. They opened the door for me to be able to do it because we have an amazing Surgeon General that fights against vaccine mandates and fights against fluoride in the water. But it had nothing to do with Republican. I don't like Trump. I don't like any of those people. I don't like Clinton. I don't like any of them. So it had nothing to do with that stuff. It was just, this is a poison. It shouldn't be in our water. It serves no real purpose. It's dangerous, and it doesn't have the benefits you think it has. So if you're one of those people and you want to do it, it's a really good thing. And I mean, I could say, I told you before, and I say it again, like that we went to a Mexican restaurant after we won, and I was standing outside looking in that restaurant, and it was this best feeling that I've had, just knowing that I got that those people were a little safer and I got that stuff out of the water. And like, I'd finally won, because we always lose, right? We don't win. Like, it's always just tinfoil hat, nut job. They keep doing it. The wars still go on, but it was like this one time I won. It was the best feeling, because like, just people were just a little bit safer. Sure, they're still eating, drinking aspartame and all the other, you know, all the Monsanto products around them, but there's just one less poison in the water. And it was because I took the time to write their mayor and write their city council and say, why are you putting this stuff in the water? And thankfully, they had a good city council and a good mayor who was already kind of aware of that stuff. And they didn't even know, like the mayor didn't even know that stuff was in the water. And then and it turns out that their city guy was like, he was against it too, because it's really dangerous stuff. And they have to go through all this, spend all this extra money because it's toxic and it corrodes things and it costs some extra money. And so they were actually already in the position to take it out. And I went to the city council the city council meeting, and they voted it out. And the next day they turned it off, and it was off just like that. So, I mean, if you can get them to do it and you can confront them with the evidence, you can get them to turn it off. And there's people having success all over. And as that success builds, it becomes easier for the next state to do it, and the next state to do it, you know?
Thank you for spelling that out. And I know we talked about it last time, but it's super important, and it affects everything. Like, being able to make those kind of changes illustrates how our government, as a democratic republic, constitutional republic, how it's supposed to be. I mean, not that I'm going to sit here and tell you exactly what it is, because I have a very loose understanding of our constitutional republic, but you know, we have a lot of people in this country who just equate big corporation and big government and they're all bad, right? And there's a lot of truth in that. There's a lot of truth in that story as it pertains to fluoride. I mean, the big reason why fluoride got where it is in so many places, because it was a byproduct waste in the aluminum industry, right? So they have all this surplus of this toxic waste, and it's cheaper. It's actually profitable for them to, you know, convince everybody to buy it from them rather than spending the money on dumping it, which, as this gentleman you just mentioned knew, you know, the guy in charge of the water over there where this happened, he knew, oh, this is costing us tons of money to handle this stuff. Let's just do away with it altogether. Yeah, it's ridiculous that people, you know, will be a part of something that's, you know, an institution without questioning it, you know, even when they see the toxicity of it or the negative consequences of it directly in front of them, you know, like, I mean, just having to wear a hazmat suit to handle any chemical should make you think twice about why we're using them, unless it's the only option and we need it. It's extremely vital. At the end of the day, a lot of these corporations, it comes down to things like what happened with fluoride, where they have a surplus of it. They con a bunch of people into thinking they need it, and then now they have a new little side business. I mean, how often does that happen?
That was what was interesting, is when they voted it out and like on a statewide level, and then they were like, well, we're going to keep putting the rest of it in. I was like, why is that? Well, because it's so expensive to get rid of it. Why is it so expensive to get rid of it? Oh, because it's toxic waste. Well, then why are you putting it in the water? Like, that was the whole point. And, you know, I want to touch upon one thing you said there, because you talked about a democratic republic or a constitutional republic. And, you know, I explain that to people all the time, because, you know, just even something that simple, buddy, even something that simple, people don't get. Because they'll say, you know, if you ask them, like, what kind of country do you live in? They'll say a democracy. And I say, well, do you pledge allegiance to the democracy, or do you pledge allegiance to the republic? Because those are two different governments, right? Because our founding fathers didn't form a democracy. They formed a republic. In a republic, 1% or 99% can't tell the 1% what to do. If they're not hurting you or stealing your stuff, you know, there's supposed to be such a thing as a freedom for all people, not letting 51% tell the other 49% what they're supposed to do. And so it's interesting, even when you bring that up, like how many people don't even understand what kind of government there's, and they'll still, the same people that'll fight if you don't say the Pledge of Allegiance will say that we live in a democracy. Like you're the one repeating that every day, and you still don't even know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And it can work in all of our favors if we use it correctly. You know, I mean, it's not that it's a perfect system, but it does put certain things in place that protect us and make this country unique and part of what so many people want to live here. But yeah, I don't know, Winston. I'm just crossing my fingers and hoping that this Patreon live stream is stored on Patreon and not just like the equivalent of an Instagram live where it's here and then gone. So, but let's cross our fingers and hope, because I wasn't recording this other than using the live stream software. So let's see. And it's always great talking to you, brother. So thanks again for joining me. Prophetic Memetics on X is where people can find you. And yeah, thanks again. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you very much for having me. And again, I always just like to tell people, like, there's always something you can do. There's always something you can do to make the world better. There's some talent that you have, some gift that you have, some knowledge that you have that you can spread with somebody. If you don't want to get fired, you're worried about getting doxxed like people are getting right now, then make a fake profile and start, you know, speaking out under a fake profile so you don't have to get, you know, in trouble about it. But if you know what's going on and you know that there's something wrong, and then you have a responsibility to speak out and do something. And even if you just tell one person, you know, that one person you wake up might be a leader, and they might wake up 1,000 people. And your voice is far more powerful than you think. So don't be afraid to use it.
Gone. Thanks again, Winston. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Follow Prophetic Memetics on X. Until next episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was our conversation with Winston Montag. I am not a political podcast. This is not a political podcast. If you disagreed with Charlie Kirk or you agreed with Charlie Kirk, whatever, doesn't affect me. I was not particularly a fan of Charlie Kirk, but guess what? It sucks to see what happened to him. It's a tragedy. It's awful. We never want that to happen to anybody, let alone someone who is as influential as he was. I mean, yeah. What does that say about our country if someone can just be slain in broad daylight because, well, it seems like we don't know the because, but I'm sure they're going to give us some cheap narrative to explain it all away, wash it down with a nice big glass of fluoride-laced water. Anyways, get the fluoride out of your local water supply. It's easy. And if you can't do that, just switch to spring water. There are a surprising number of springs in this country right in your own backyard. You'd be, I mean, baffled to know how easy and abundant, how easily you can get water. It's very abundant. So, yeah, I switched to spring water a couple of years ago, and I feel great. I actually need to go and reload up on my spring water today, so I'm going to step out of the house and do that. I'll catch you all on the next episode. And until then, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.